Great. Great. So first of all, for those of you who don't know me, I think I already got introduced. So my name is Felix. I'm from Germany, and I'm one of the pace workers over at Christchurch Pennington. And I also come here regularly to visit the services, so also to help in the Sunday school. Yeah, so as I'm from Germany, my accent may sound a little bit odd to you. I hope you will all be fine to understand me. If not, just give me a big wave or give me a little sign that I can slow down a bit. Great. Thank you. So to start, I quickly want to pray again as well. Father, I want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you that you are risen, Father. I want to pray now that you help us to understand what you want us to say, Father, that you speak to us, Father, today. In your name, amen. Yeah. So, yesterday, my family and I went a bit of hiking, and to make it a little bit more specific, we went in the Peak District. I think a lot of you probably know the Peak District. It looks really amazing. It's an amazing area to hike, and so we were there walking around, and, you know, it was one of those beautiful days. Sun, no cloud at all, really nice. But then we lost the track, and we lost the track, we lost where we were walking. And in our family, there's this rule that the difference between a walk and a hike is that hiking includes losing track of the way at least once. So there's this rule that it's only a hike if you lose the track. And so yesterday was one of those days again where we were walking there and we didn't really know where we're walking or what to do. But today we want to look at a different story, also of some walkers who also lost track of the way, who also didn't know really where to go, what to do, but in a way bigger way than it was for us. So let me quickly read out the passage. If you want to read it yourself, open your Bibles at Luke chapter 24, the verses 13 to 34. I'll read it out in a minute. On the road to Emmaus. Now, that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our ruler handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women awaited us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, 'How foolish are you, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken? Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at a table, he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.'" So this best passage for the day from Luke tells us the story of those two disciples. And they were wandering around about a life. They were also walking the way from Jerusalem to Emmaus, about 7 miles. And they had a way bigger problem than we had yesterday. They weren't just looking for the way to walk. They were looking for the way of their life. They had spent some time with Jesus, and they were saying that he is the chosen one. He is the one who redeemed Israel. And they learned a lot of him, and then suddenly he was dead. And so those were walking home to Emmaus, maybe their hometown, and discussing the past on the way. It is safe to assume that they had spent some time with Jesus, and they may have not belonged to the inner circle of the 12 disciples. Maybe they've belonged to the circle of the 70 that are sent out in Luke 10, but they definitely spent some time with Jesus, and they also knew a little bit of the scripture, as Jesus was able to talk with them about the scripture. And so they had put their hope in Jesus, and they had knowledge about the Old Testament passages that tell us of Jesus. And also traveling with Jesus, they heard him saying that he was going to die. They didn't really understand it. If you look in Matthew 16:21, it says, "From that time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed on the third day to be raised." So they basically had all the knowledge of Eastern advance. They had spent time with Jesus. They knew him. They knew the scripture. They knew the Old Testament. But still, they didn't understand. They had the knowledge, but they couldn't fully compile it. And this gets even more clear in the beginning of the chapter. It talks about the woman who went to the grave and didn't find him, and then went amazed to the disciples. But the disciples didn't trust him. They didn't understand. And so, to show you the difference between knowing and fully understanding, I have brought you a little picture. And this picture shows us a woman who is walking on a normal way, just casually. It's just 60 meters, but as you see, she's pretty scared. She's pretty scared because it goes down exactly 1,430 meters down. So this woman is there walking on this glassway, and as she looks down, she can see those 1,430 meters and is pretty scared. And I can admit, I think it's pretty scary there. I would probably or definitely be scared walking there as well. But if you start rationally thinking about it, this woman is totally safe. And if there would be only 2 meters below this, then she would be casually walking over it, or if there would be 5 meters, because we all know that this glass will hold her. We know that it will hold. But I don't think we all will be able to trust it. You know, everybody knows the bridge will hold, it is safe to walk. There's no way something can get wrong. There's no reason to be scared. But I think we all will be scared. And now let's look back at the disciples. They had a problem, and they had a problem with trust and knowing, a problem with knowing and understanding. And I mean, I maybe already talked a little bit mean about them, but here's the clue. I think that most of us have a problem with understanding Easter. Most of us have a problem to not only know it, but fully understand it. Because I definitely sometimes can't fully understand Easter. And a lot of us probably can't, if not all of us. And so let's give it a quick recap. A lot of us probably know the Easter story, that Jesus died on the cross and he was dead in the tomb 3 days, and then he resurrected. And it's as simple as that, not much to say about it, right? But do we really understand Easter? Are we as confused about Easter as the people who made those pictures? Are we thinking about Easter more in this way than seriously? Because do we really understand what Easter means? Because Easter is the center of the gospel. Easter is the center of life. Easter is the most important thing, I think, that we have. Because in the beginning, God created us perfectly. God created us, God created earth, and he loves us. He loves us unimaginably. He loves us so much, we can't even think about it, how much he loves. But there's a little problem, because we don't love him as much. We sinned against him, we failed, we made mistakes, and so there was a split. There was a split between God and us, because God is perfect, but we are not. God loves us incredible, but because he is perfect and we are not, we can't come together. If God is perfect and we are not, there's no way we can come together, and that makes God so incredible sad. And because God wants to live in connection with us, he wants to live in harmony with us, but we are full of sin, and the sin has to be punished. It has to be punished. We have to be punished for the sin. So Jesus made us a way. So God sent Jesus on the earth that Jesus can build the bridge over the sin. God loves us so much that he sends Jesus to take on our guilt, to take our sin on himself, to take everything we did wrong, every mistake that we made in our life. He took it on himself and died there on the cross. Only because Jesus died on the cross, only because of Easter, we are able to come back to God. Only because of this, we, even though we are unperfect, we are sinners, we are making so many mistakes, are able to be reconnected to God. And that's what Easter is all about. Easter is about God freeing us from sin. Easter is the biggest present God could ever make us. It is the best love story ever happening. And because of Easter, we can come to God. Because of Easter, we can go into heaven. So do we understand Easter? Do we understand that Easter is what defines our lives? You know, I know we all define our lives differently. But for us Christians, Easter should be what defines us. God to us should be what defines us. Because without Easter, we would be in a more dire situation than ever imaginable. But with Easter, we are in the best situation, in a better situation than we can ever imagine. And do we really understand the difference that Easter makes? Easter makes a difference in life. Easter is the life changer. So, are we busting for the good news? Are we going for the good news? Like in the picture, this man. Are we running around? Are we? Are we running like this man for Jesus? Are we running like the disciples? So let's look back into the story of the disciples. As soon as they understood that Jesus is alive, as soon as they understood Jesus, as soon as they recognized that Jesus is there, that Easter is real, they are completely changed. Their mourning is exchanged for joy. Their doubts are exchanged for conviction. Their walk away from Jerusalem turns into a run towards Jerusalem. They run the 10 kilometers to their friends to tell them that Jesus is alive, even so it isn't even guaranteed that they believe, because the woman already told them and they didn't believe. But they are completely turned around because of that. They run those 10K, and the full life of those two disciples isn't recorded, but for disciples in general, Easter is a life changer. Their life is completely shaped around and defined by Easter. And the same goes for us. Understanding of Easter and change of behavior go hand in hand. If we fully understand Easter, our life is defined by Easter, and we would change our behavior all around Easter. And if we truly understand the importance of Easter, then our lives are truly transformed. We will be willing to run those 10 kilometers to tell our friends about Jesus' resurrection the same way those disciples run those 10 kilometers for their friends to tell them about Jesus. And my dream is for all of us, including myself, to fully understand Easter, to fully live Easter, to live it in our lives, in our everyday lives, to live our lives with the knowledge, with the understanding that God has died for us, that we can be through him resurrected, and that this is the good news, and that's the most important thing in our life. But so, let's make one step back now, and on the picture, I've brought a little quote to you from the famous scientist Albert Einstein, and he once said, "Any fool can know. The point is to understand." Any fool can know. The point is to understand. This is what matters about today. The point is to understand. The point is about. It's not about knowing Easter. And knowing Easter is important. Knowing Easter is great, and knowing Easter is the basis. But that's not the point of Easter. The point of Easter is understanding it. Because only if we are able to understand, we can live the right life. And so, to quickly stay at the theme of science and to stay at the theme of math. The way of understanding Easter, I think, is a little bit similar to the way of understanding Mass. You first have to learn it, but then it's not enough to learn it off by heart. You have to apply it. You have to do exercise. You have to apply it over and over again, hour after hour. And I think that's the same with Easter. We have to not only read through this passage, we have to pray about it, and we have to apply the things in our life. We have to tell it to our friends. We have to go for it. And that's the same for Easter. It's just not one-off thing that we want to go through. It's not enough to hear it once today. We have to read it over and over again. We have to think through it. We have to pray about it. We have to live it. We have to hear the gospel over and over again and to think through it not only once, but regularly. Because it's not enough to only know that Jesus died and resurrected to save us from our sin. We also have to understand that this is what defines our life, and we want to act in a way which resembles it. If we look to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14, it says, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. But we are so lucky that Christ is raised, and therefore I want to challenge you to, this evening, read again the passages, read the Gospels, read the story of Easter of Jesus, and think about it, pray about it, go through it, we don't only need to do it once today, we can do it over and over again, because that is the heart of the Gospel, that's the most important thing, and therefore, I'm only left to say one thing. Think about the good news again and again, and hallelujah, the Lord is risen. Amen. Thank you.